It is 4 p.m. here on KZSU 90.1 FM. Time for my show. Hi, Kifak Sava. The show, of course, comes to you live every Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And as usual, the show, as its title implies, attempts to mix songs in Arabic, French, and English in a way that kind of centers on Lebanon, where the national greeting is Hi, Kifak Sava. Hi in English. Kifak in Arabic means how are you? And Sava in French is hope it's going well. So this kind of trilingual greeting is the way most Lebanese people say hello. And so on today's show, we'll be attempting to play the latest in French, English, and Arabic songs, not only popular in the Middle East, but also in Europe, and I would dare say in the United States as well. Well, at least on the underground music scene. I'm going to begin my show with a song by Tania Saleh, but I've got a lot of goodies coming up, including an interview today with Firas Abu Khadija, who is the inventor of YouTube Instant. He is of Syrian descent, and he is a Stanford student. He's one of the most delightful students I've ever met, and he has kindly agreed to come on the show today, so stay tuned for that. We will also have a, well, I'm not going to call him a correspondent, but a fan in Amman, Jordan, who may be joining us live to tell us a little bit about the music scene in that country. So plenty of goodies coming up today on today's show. I hope you'll stay tuned from 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. DJ Ramsey, the show is Hi Kifak Sava here on KZSU 90.1 FM. We are streaming live at kzsulive.stanford.edu.
في وحدي وطني بنت عيلة وبنت حلال وفي وحدي عربي الله وي عراس الشام أوروبي من جمال أي وحدي بدك ما فيك تضلك وحدك صار لازم تلاقي وحدي توقف حدك أي وحدي بدك تضلك وحدك صار لازم تلاقي وحدي توقف حدك شي وحدي تفهم عليك تتحملها وتتحملك بتربيها ايديك ملكي هي وانت الملك اي وحدي بدك ما فيك تضلك وحدك صار لازم تلاقي وحدي توقف حدك صار لازم تلاقي وحدي توقف حدك شي وحدي يكون حلمك تبقوا سوا طول الزمان ما بستنى إلا أما ولد اسمه لبنان
That was Tania Saleh, and from her album Wahde, we just heard the title track called Wahde. Wahde in Arabic means unity, but it also means a girl, and it also could mean loneliness, so go figure. I think Tania Saleh did that on purpose. And I am sort of trying to get in touch with a person in Jordan. I don't know if he is on the line or not. Let's try this. Ahmed, are you there?
Yes, I believe I'm here.
Oh, good, good, Ahmed. I can't believe that we actually were able to connect.
Yeah, thank God.
Because you are where?
I am in Amman in Jordan, Middle East.
Wow, wow. What time is it over there?
It's like 2 a.m.
Oh, man, you are up at 2 a.m. listening to our show?
I can't miss this episode. I can't miss any episode.
That is such a wonderful compliment, Ahmed. As you know, you and I have spoken before, and although we've never met, I feel like I know you already.
Thank you. This is a big compliment for me.
Well, let me just explain to the viewers that you contacted me initially with your thoughts on the show, and I was delighted to hear that we have so many listeners in Amman, Jordan, and apparently you are probably the most loyal, I would say.
Thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you, Ahmed. And through the weeks and through the months, you've sent us a nice variety of songs and recommendations that come from the Arab world. And I have to tell you, Ahmed, without embarrassing you, that every time you send us a song recommendation, I always get such positive feedback from people at the station and listeners out there. So you are truly our ambassador Middle East at this point.
Oh, this must cheer me up a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, next I'm going to have to send you a diplomatic passport. And
God.
And also, Ahmed, I did want to say thank you for the beautiful graphics that you sent me.
Oh, most welcome. You deserve more than that.
Thank you, Ahmed. Shukran in Arabic and merci beaucoup in French. And I think the listeners are probably wondering what graphics we're talking about. Ahmed, you sent me the graphics that we're using for the background for my blog that goes around along with the show. The blog is titled Pop Culture in the Arab World. It's at author32.blogspot.com. And the background image to that was Ahmed Q himself.
Yeah, I like the blog. I loved it. And I felt like that I should do something with it, you know. I should offer something that fits that page.
And I was stunned. How long did it take you to do that? It just was so involved and so beautiful.
Well, actually, when you do something that you like or you love, you don't feel the time. You enjoy every minute you do that thing. And I literally enjoyed everything I did for that page because I love that page. I love everything written in it and the purpose of it. It's a great job. It must be appreciated and supported by every fan.
Ahmed, are all people in Jordan as nice as you? This is probably the most generous gestures. You seem like such an amazing person.
Thank you.
I'm going to say that that's probably typical of the Jordanian hospitality we hear so much about.
Yes, exactly. You can say so.
And Ahmed, can I say you speak beautiful English as well? Do most people in Amman, Jordan, speak English as a second language?
No, but I lived abroad for some time. That's why my English has been improved a little bit.
Wow. And do you speak any French, Ahmed?
No. I must learn it, I think.
So I think I'm just going to say to you, hi, Kifak, and I'll stop there. I won't say ça va.
No, you can say ça va.
I can say ça va as well.
Yeah, you can say it. I know this one at least.
Well, good. And so what would be your answer to ça va?
Ça va.
Oh, there you go. You did know it.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised because as our listeners may know, Jordan was actually colonized by the British, not the French, which is why English is more popular there than French, whereas Lebanon was colonized by the French, and that's where most Lebanese people speak French as a second language, English probably as a third.
It's very true.
So, Ahmed, I think, you know, I've been dying to ask you what goodies you've brought with you today, especially in the spirit of the show, Hi Kifak Ça va, where we attempt to find a song in three different languages and play them one after the other so that by the end of it, people can't get the melody out of their head, but at the same time, you know, kind of can appreciate the intersections and the little nuances that change the song from English, French, to Arabic.
Well, there's a great song that explains exactly my current state, you know, and when I heard it, I said this song must be played in the three languages on Hi Kifak Ça va.
Wow.
And the song in its English and French version is like very old, but in its Arabic version it has been released like a month ago. The song name in English, it's Woman in Love, and it was sung by the legend and well-known Barbara Streisand.
Wow, yes, and I remember that song, Ahmed. I don't know how old you are, but I'm old enough to remember it.
I just adore the song.
Yeah. How old are you, Ahmed?
Me? 26.
26. Oh, well, you weren't even born when the song was...
I believe so, yeah.
I think it was
the
one to
number
classic
song.
Well, you're either wise beyond your years or you're just a really, really good music connoisseur.
Thank you. Well, for the French version of the song, I believe its name... I'm not that good in French, but I believe its
That's
name...
That's okay. You can butcher the French language on my show. I don't care.
Okay, just correct me if I say it wrong.
All right.
It's named Une Femme Amoureuse.
Ooh la la, Monsieur Ahmed, formidable, magnifique.
Okay, and it's sung by the French singer Mireille Mathieu.
Oh my gosh, I love Mireille Mathieu. You're really bringing me back to my youth, Ahmed. Right now, I'm getting a flashback to my youth and listening to Mireille Mathieu and Barbara Streisand at their
peak.
I
hope it brings back a good memory.
It does bring back a good memory, but I think speaking with you also brings back great memories of being in Jordan, in Amman, where I spent a few years of my life after, you know, I was born and raised in Lebanon. And just speaking with you kind of reminds me of the whole Jordanian culture, its warmth, its hospitality, and its kind. Spirited people.
And now you have a crowd there.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Is that a good thing to have? Yeah, Ahmed,
yeah,
the crowd.
Actually, many of my friends, they liked your show, and I told them about it, and they do. Yeah, they do listen to it.
Well,
and,
go ahead.
I was just telling about the song.
Yes.
The Arabic version of it, it's called Tahwak, and it's sung by Sophia Marich.
Wow.
She's a Moroccan girl in her 20s. She's a bit famous because she was one of the participants in Star Academy reality show.
Star Academy is a show sort of like American Idol meets Big Brother, where young Arab musicians sort of compete for Best Singer of the Year. And it's one of the most popular shows, I think, on Middle Eastern TV.
Yeah. I dedicate this song to my loved one.
Wow.
Yeah, it just explains exactly my my state now, you know. So I dedicate it to my one, whatever it is. But
one and only, Ahmed, or are there many
one
ones?
One and only, and always and forever.
Wow. Well, very, very romantic, Ahmed. So I guess you're talking about the Arabic version Tahwak, which is the version sung by Sophia Marich. You said released recently, Ahmed, the song.
Yes, very recent.
So here's what I suggest we do. In the spirit of cooperation between East and West and building bridges between East and West, why don't we begin by playing the Arabic version by Sofia Marich, and then let's segue into Barbara Streisand's version, A Woman in Love.
That would be great.
And then we'll end with the Mireille Mathieu and the French version. That way, by the end of this segment, people will be singing the tune for many days to come. I don't think they'll be able to get it out of their head. Now, depending on which language they speak, they can probably repeat the chorus in that language.
Perfect.
All right. So, Ahmed, I'm going to keep you on the air while you listen to this, because I would love to talk to you a little bit more about the music scene in Jordan and seeing what kind of maybe new artists you may be able to talk about. And to also thank you, of course, for staying up late and being live with us on this broadcast today. I'm really, really touched and glad that you were able to make it. I was fearing that you would be asleep by now and we would forget to tune into the show. So thank you so much for calling.
You are most welcome, sir.
So let's begin with Dahwak by Sofia Marich, and listen to the three versions. We'll talk to Ahmed a little bit later. Also, to remind everybody that we have Firas Abu Khadija coming up on the show, who is a Syrian-American, or an American of Syrian descent, and the inventor of YouTube Instant. He's a Stanford student who has kindly agreed to come in and discuss that with us here on the show today. So plenty of goodies between Ahmed Q and Firas Abu Khadija. I think we're in really good shape. And what better way to celebrate this great show than to begin with Sofia Marich Tahwak and segue on to Barbara Streisand and Mireille Mathieu.
regardé qui c'est. Si tu me vois, mais moi je ne vois que toi. Je n'ai plus qu'une question, tes yeux, mes yeux, et je chante ton nom.
How is that for a trilingual song? We heard the same song in three different languages, first in Arabic, then in English, and finally in French. Same song, three different languages, three different singers, and different eras as well. The first, the last one you heard was, of course, in French by Mireille Mathieu. It was called Une Femme Amoureuse, translated, it means a woman in love. That song, I think, was popular in 1981, but it was not the original. The original was, of course, the version released by Barbara Streisand back in 1980. We heard that one before this one. And we started with a brand new version by a young Moroccan singer that was brought to us by I'm going to just call you our correspondent in Jordan. Ahmed, are you still with us?
Yes, still there.
Well, good. Ahmed, you know, the kind of reaction I had in the studio here was very positive to your, trilingual mix. And by that, I mean our guest of honor who's arrived, Firas Abu Khadija, is actually in the studio as well. Marhaba, Firas.
How are you doing? Marhaba.
Ahlan wa sahlan. I am so happy to see you, ya Firas, in the KZSU studios.
It's great to be here.
Ahmed, can you hear Firas?
Yes, I'm still here.
Wow.
I can hear him.
I mean, look at us. We're like talking to somebody in Jordan. We've got the inventor of YouTube Instant right here in the studio in person, Firas Abu Khadija. We'll be speaking to him at great length today. Thank you so much, Firas, for coming in. And I know this is not an easy week for you with finals coming up at Stanford.
It's my pleasure.
Wow. Wow. Well, I mean, we'll also have to explain to them how we know each other. I'm not going to tell the listeners yet, Firas, so that they can be in suspense. And Ahmed, I hope you can stay with us through Firas's segment, because I would also like to speak with you about, you know, the Jordanian music scene and some of the songs that you've sent us, so that you can comment on them.
Yeah, I would be happy to do that.
Okay, so we'll have plenty more coming up in a little while. In the meantime, the Stanford Archives of Recorded Sound is a wonderful resource for those interested in classical music and jazz. The archive, containing thousands of historical recordings and numerous collections of printed materials, is located in the Braun Music Center on the Stanford campus. Visit the archive on the web by entering the term Stanford Archive of Recorded Sound in a search engine such as Google or Yahoo. Take a tour. There is a great deal to enjoy. The website lib.stanford.edu/ars. So hope everybody out there is doing well here at Stanford. And I think I'm going to segue. Well, let's see if we can multitask a little bit here, because I believe that Ahmed, you what is it that you do, Ahmed, for a living?
I work in IT field.
So have you heard of Firas Abu Khadija? I mean, I'm sure you knew that he was going to be on the show today, but have you guys heard of him in the Middle East?
Yes, we heard about him, and we heard about his invention, the YouTube Instant. It's an amazing invention, actually, and I wish for Firas to proceed in this field, and I wish for him more prosperity in his life.
In his very young life, I have to tell you, I don't know if you know this. Firas, do you mind telling us your age?
Yeah, I'm 20.
Oh my gosh, at 20, Firas Abu Khadija has already made a name for himself, and apparently internationally, Firas.
Yeah, I'm flattered. I can't believe how far the news about this website spread. It's really been something unlike anything I've ever experienced before in my life.
Well, and we'll be talking about what YouTube Instant is exactly and how long it took you to do it and all that. But because the show, you know, sort of centers on the Arab world, I think I speak for Ahmed and for myself and for every Arab American when we say we are so proud to see your name, Firas Abu Khadija, there in the media on CNN and on different stations, because of course you are of Arab descent, Firas.
That's right.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about your background?
Sure, yeah. So I was born in Sacramento, you know, lived in the U.S. all my life. But my dad is from Syria. So he was born, you know, in the Middle East, and he came to the U.S. When he was still a teenager. And he went to college here and met my mom. And so, you know, I'm American Syrian, Syrian American, whatever you want to call it.
Or both?
Or both, yeah. So I mean, I've visited Syria a few times when I was little to see all of our family there, and you know, and so it's you know, culturally it's a big part of my life.
And you know, I'm not going to pretend that I don't know if you speak Arabic or not, you know, because I think we should tell them, Firas, how you and I met.
Yeah, so I'm enrolled in Arabic classes here at Stanford, and Ramzi, you're my Arabic professor, right?
Am I not like the most...
the best Arabic professor.
No, I mean I'm the most blessed professor to have such lecturer here.
It's the other way
for
around.
For having such wonderful students. Honestly, I've got, you know, as you know, Firas, we've got a lot of Arab American students here who sort of are heritage Arabic speakers. In other words, they know Arabic from being in a home where you grew up, maybe hearing Arabic at home, but you didn't quite master the reading and the writing.
Definitely didn't master. So actually, my dad spoke Arabic to me when I was up until I was 4 years old, and my mom spoke English. So my mom doesn't know Arabic very well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So my dad knows Arabic, obviously, because he was born in the Middle East, and my mom doesn't know it. So, you know, I was learning both languages up until I was four. And then when I went to school, I stopped speaking Arabic completely because, you know, school, it's all English. And so then it was English. And the house from then on.
So were you one of those kids where, like, your dad would say something in Arabic and be like, no, Dad, I don't want to speak any Arabic at home?
I think he just stopped talking in Arabic once I started school, because I think my parents wanted me to learn English really well. So
yeah, but I think you came full circle, because at Stanford you decided to actually delve into your Arabic studies.
Yeah, it's been great, because having that background of speaking it when you're really young gives you an intuition that you wouldn't otherwise have. Like, you know, you hear a word, you don't know what it means, but you can sort of, you're like, oh, it kind of sounds like something I remember a really long time ago in the back of my head, and you just, like, get the meaning, you know, you figure it out somehow.
And I think also one of the funniest things is sometimes in class you say something which is in colloquial Arabic, which is, you know, kind of how, like, people really speak, but it's almost like, you know, speaking in, I don't know, like, very sort of
slang.
Slang, right.
Or
in
street
English,
talk.
When we're trying to read a very respectable text in class.
Yeah.
So Firas, you know, I wanted to sort of just talk to you about your background a bit, but really the reason I wanted you to be here is to talk about YouTube Instant. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody out there who really doesn't know what it is, but for those, you know, two people on Earth who haven't heard of it, can you explain what it is?
Sure. So I don't know if you remember, but like about 6 months ago, there was a announcement by Google. They were releasing this thing called Google Instant, which is when you're typing your search on Google, the results update instantly as you're typing the letters in.
Right.
And so they announced that, and I heard about it and thought it was a really interesting product. So then I came home that day after work. This was during the summer, last summer. And I randomly had this idea pop into my head. I thought, what if I build the same thing but for YouTube videos? Wouldn't that be more fun? Because then as you're typing, you know, you keep getting random videos that show up to you.
Right.
And so I just built it real fast in 3 hours and posted a link to my Facebook and Twitter. And then I went to sleep because it was late. And I woke up the next day, and to my amazement, I had like 14 missed calls on my phone and all these emails asking to interview me. I had an interview request from the Washington Post.
You mean between the time you went to bed and the time you woke up, all of this, the world had changed?
Yeah, I posted the link, and then like within 3 hours, I was sleeping, but within 3 hours it was on like mainstream blogs, like on All Things Digital and Washington Post. And then from there, I think, yeah, it was exactly 14 hours after I posted the link, I had a tweet from the CEO of YouTube at the time, Chad Hurley.
No way.
Yeah, he
That's
said,
amazing.
He said, I saw your site. I think it's awesome. You know, do you want to come work for me?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to bed, so you're you know, Firas Abu Khadija, Stanford student. You wake up and you're speaking to...
I couldn't believe it.
That's amazing. So, did you expect it? You probably didn't expect that to happen.
I couldn't believe it. I just got up in the morning. I was thirsty. I wanted to get a glass of water. And then I look at my phone and I'm like, oh my God, what happened, right?
Wow.
And then I spent that whole day just like answering emails and making sure the site stayed up, because my server was just melting under all the traffic it was getting. And I actually didn't get a glass of water until the end of the day. I completely forgot about it.
Oh no, Firas, you need to keep hydrated no matter what's going on. You know? That's the father in me speaking to you. Because like I said, in a way, I think many of us older generation and the younger generation of Arab Americans feel so proud of you for having made a name for yourself at such a young age. Firas, is this interest in the internet and websites, and I'm not a techie guy here, so I don't want to say the wrong thing, but basically, is this something that you've always had, or is it something that you just started in college?
No, I've always been interested in technology. So when I was really young, my dad is an electrical engineer, he always had like electronic parts just all over the house, because he would do some work at home. And anytime, it was really actually a great environment to grow up in, because anytime something in the house needed fixing, my dad didn't fix it himself, even though he could. Instead, he just told me to do it. And I didn't know what I was doing half the time, and I ruined a lot of things in the house. But I learned so much. Like, for example, we get a new VCR or something, and my dad would make me set it up.
Wow.
Even though I was like, 5 or 6 or whatever, I don't know how old I was, but I was very little. My dad made me do it, even though he could easily do it, but he wanted me to learn.
Right.
And so then after a while, after a few years, I just was was the one who fixed everything in the house. My dad sort of got lazy and got used to me doing everything.
Or he's a very smart dad, you know.
He's a very smart dad, yeah.
And boy, did it bear fruit. So,
thanks.
And Firas, what is your major here at Stanford?
I'm studying computer science.
Why am I not surprised? And Arabic.
An Arabic minor, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say an Arabic for fun because I was no good at computer science, but probably with you, they're both fun.
They're both very fun.
That means the right side of your brain and the left side are developed.
I can't imagine not doing computer science.
Well, we did, since you mentioned your dad, you probably want to say hello to him in Arabic on the air and show off your polished Arabic skills.
I don't know about that.
I mean, you are only speaking to your teacher here. I'm grading you on this.
Marhaba ya baba.
Mumtaz, very diplomatic. Yeah. So, Mr. Abu Khadija, if you're listening, you have a great son, and we're delighted to have him at the studio. And, you know, I was going to take a question from Ahmed. I don't know poor Ahmed in Jordan, if he might have fallen asleep. Ahmed, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still awake.
I mean, how can you listen to Firas Abu Khadija and fall asleep anyway?
It's impossible.
Yeah, I cannot. It's impossible, yes.
Yeah, but, so, you know, Firas was actually going to talk to us or dedicate a song that he likes to, I don't know who, he hasn't told me yet. And I was going to do that next, but I thought before I do that, Ahmed, since you are, you know, in IT and you have this kind of same background, do you have any questions? I mean, since you stayed up so late, the least I can do is have you ask Firas Abu Khadija. What time is it there, Ahmed?
It's like 15 to 3.
Wow.
A.M.
Yeah, but tomorrow is Friday and it's off.
TGIF?
Or TGIJ, Juma.
Right.
How do you say TGIF? Thank God it's Friday in Arabic, Ahmed.
Jum'ah.
No, it's Alhamdulillah al-yawm al-jum'ah. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you have to abbreviate it. So go ahead, Ahmed. Why don't you ask Firas anything you like? He is such an amazing young man sitting here with a big smile.
Me.
And no, but I know of which I speak, Firas. It's been a year of teaching you. So, you know, I'm not just talking. Go ahead, Ahmed.
Yeah, actually, when I saw the YouTube Instant, I said, you know, why you are using it only with YouTube? Why don't you use it with the other websites that use the streaming service? Or you can say, why don't you use the YouTube Instant in a way to put it as a component in many websites?
So, like, why don't you embed this Instant Search feature in other websites?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's good also to make it more popular.
Yeah. So I mean, when I built YouTube Instant, I wasn't thinking of it as like a company or as like a product that I really put a lot of thought into. It was really like a quick hack, you know. I worked at Facebook last summer, and one of the things that they do there that I really liked a lot is they do these things called hackathons, where all the employees spend one night, they stay up all night, and they build anything that their heart desires, but usually it's something that they don't work on for their day job, so something they've been wanting to do,
Wow. They've
been thinking about, and they basically have the freedom to work on anything. And then what's really cool is at the end of the day, you know, there's all these really innovative things they come up with because it's not their area of you know, where they're usually working. So like Facebook chat, for example, was a feature that they just hacked up in one night, and now it's a very critical part of the site, right?
Really?
Yeah, and same thing at Google, actually. You know, Gmail was a side project by an engineer. They did it for fun, and now Gmail is this huge product that's very important to Google. So it was sort of like, you know, I just wanted to just build something for fun, and so I wasn't really thinking you know, like long-term applications of the site. But I agree, that would be an interesting use of it.
Because how long did it take you, Firas, to build YouTube Instant?
So yeah, I just built it in 3 hours. It was working. And then I spent a couple more hours just adding the polish onto the UI.
But that's absolutely unbelievable. In 3 hours, you built YouTube Instant and it went viral overnight.
Yeah, so the part that's interesting is that it was a quick hack that I didn't put any thought into, and it went viral. But really, the tech, like technically, to build it in 3 hours isn't. I don't think it's that impressive because I have to give a lot of the credit to YouTube's engineers because they have this beautiful API. You know, that means in case some listeners don't understand, application
like yours truly.
it's called an application programming interface. It's basically like YouTube does all this work to make building applications on top of YouTube very easy. So, like, for example, the instant search suggestions that come up, that's not me. That's YouTube.
Right.
And then the videos obviously come from YouTube. So what did I actually do? I mean, all I did when I built this site was I glued together two components that were already available in an interesting way that apparently no one had done before. But really, you know, it's simple technology. You just glue them together.
But I think there's also a demand, because with the internet and everything, people wanting things very quickly and speed. I mean,
yeah.
I've seen, Scott, you did a demo, I remember, and you showed us, and it was like, wow, this is really like saving time.
I think one of the reasons why people liked it a lot was because it has this sort of serendipitous quality about it. Like, you'd start typing in a couple of letters, maybe you're thinking of a particular video in your mind, but then you get shown something else completely unexpected before you get to where you're really trying to go, and so it's almost like it's perfect if you have ADD. You know, it distracts you all the time and shows you interesting things. You know,
I just hope it doesn't give you ADD if you don't have it.
You know, I think the internet gives you ADD.
Yeah, the whole internet. Well, let's hope it's in a positive way. So I don't know, Ahmed, did Firas actually answer your question?
Not really. I gave a very political. Sorry.
I mean, the reason I'm asking is because, you know, I know nothing about technology, and basically I was hoping that Ahmed maybe could carry this part of the interview for me. Ahmed?
Yes. He did very well, and he answered. But I think it's very funny how a person that's doing something for fun and he succeed in it in a very large way. But I think if Firas thought about it commercially, he will get a lot of money.
Well, and I think, Ahmed, you know, maybe even you in Jordan, when you hear about success stories by such amazing Arab Americans as Firas Abu Khadija, who at 20 has been able, I mean, you've been on CNN, you've been on the news, you've did the whole circuit, didn't you, Firas?
Yeah, it's funny, even now, like 6 months after I built the site, and I figure most people, you know, the news passed. It was like a quick, you know, fun story, and no one's talking about it anymore. But you'd be surprised. I'm still getting newspapers that will come to me and ask for quotes. They somehow think, like, people who are writing journalists who are writing articles about the job market in Silicon Valley, they like to use me as an example. But it's not. I'm not representative of the job market. I mean, I got really lucky with this with this website. You know.
So you hear that, Ahmed? I mean, there's maybe you'll be the next Firas Abu Khadija, only of Jordanian descent.
Let's hope so. But I'm not that much. Coder, you know, I'm not into JavaScripts and these things that much. I'm more like a system administrator. I did scripting a long time ago, but I stopped and I started a new area in the IT field. That is IT administration, or you can call it system administration, basically working on domains and networks and such stuff. But hopefully we'll do something in common in the future when I meet you one day.
Well, hey, perhaps it would be, you know, did you say serendipitous? That you and Ahmed Q can connect through the high Kifak Sava connection. Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody who knows nothing about technology hosting a show who brings in these two techies together, and they change the world or something.
I mean, I wouldn't say you know nothing. I mean, you have a blog that a lot of people read that you publish.
Which,
right?
By the way, I don't know if you know this, Firas, but Ahmed Q on our line did the background for my blog and sent it to me.
The background image?
Yeah, the background image, which is a beautiful image. Ahmed, shukran, merci, and thank you for that.
I even have a lot of friends who are like CS... computer science majors, and they don't have blogs, and I'm telling them you should start a blog, because, you know, it's a very good way to just share your thoughts on random things.
Great. And if they want a background, Ahmed Q, I think you're available, right?
Yes, always.
Yeah, you're only a short plane ride away from California.
Short plane ride.
But no, I mean, we're so happy you're staying with us, Ahmed, staying up with us tonight. I know.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, wallahi.
The only reason I felt, you know, guilty is I thought you had to go to work tomorrow. Now I feel a little less guilty knowing that it's Friday, and in Muslim countries, Friday is the day off.
Right.
So yeah, I am going to keep you up, Ahmed, now. There's no excuse.
Yeah, I'm forced now.
Yes, whether you like it or not, Firas and I keeping you up. But I was going to sort of segue a little bit away from you, Ahmed, to give Firas a chance to dedicate a song that he really likes to somebody. He's being very mysterious about this. I said, Firas, bring a couple of songs that you like in Arabic, and we'll play them for you on the show. And I guess he brought a few. The one that you chose, Firas, today is...
It's this song called Yena Yena by Sabah, who's a famous, very famous Arabic singer. She has like a very, what's the word for it? Like a legendary voice.
Yes, and you know how old Sabah is?
She's very old.
Yes, she's well, we don't want to say her age, but I think she's over 90.
She's also one of few singers who, I forget what it's called, but she has a very like broad vocal range. She
Absolutely.
Can go very low, very high, like five or six octaves, something very, you know,
Absolutely.
Incredible.
Now, this is really funny, Firas, because you're like the new generation of Arab Americans, but my father was around when Sabah was big. I grew up listening to Sabah at home in Lebanon and in Jordan, and now here you are, Firas Abu Khadija, 20 years old, and you know who Sabah is. So now I think that's the definition of a legend.
I like old Arabic music more than the new stuff, frankly.
Yeah, which surprised me in class. I thought you were going to be, you know, sort of a Nancy Ajram fan.
No,
but,
I like Nancy Ajram, but I think that the older Arabic music, it's a little bit slower paced. It's not as you know, modern pop music has a sort of sound to it that, like,
right.
It sounds kind of cheap. I don't want to like talk down about other music, but I like the older music. It's more classic. It's more classy, I think.
Yeah, and I think the song you chose sort of combines old and new, because
right.
It's actually a duet between Sabah, the legendary singer we spoke about, and
this younger singer named Rula.
Rula Sal, I think, right?
Yeah.
Rula is, well, what shall we say about Rula? She's got a great voice, and she's easy on the eyes.
<That's>
if you've seen the video.
Yeah,
clip.
I've seen the video. And it's a good video, by the way.
Yeah, because she kind of is reviving, Rula Sal is reviving a lot of old Sabah tunes, and re-releasing them and re-recording them, but this one was a duet with Sabah, and that's a big honor for Sabah to actually agree to do a duet with a young singer.
I heard that Sabah doesn't often let other people sing her music or
right.
do duets with her. She's very selective, so the fact that she chose this, you know, Rola to do it with her is kind of an honor.
Yeah, and so the song goes out to who, Firas, this duet Yana Yana between Sabah and Rula Saad?
This is actually one of my dad's favorite songs.
Really?
Yeah, this is going to be dedicated to my dad, who, you know, I love very dearly, and who is, you know, I miss him.
Well,
a lot.
Well, I'm sure he's. I hope he's. I don't know if he's listening to the show.
He's actually on his way home right now, so he can't tune in. But he's gonna listen to the.
But
recording.
You know, he could tune in to kzsulive.stanford.edu.
Yeah,
on
but
his
he's
iPhone
he's,
or something.
Oh, maybe on his iPhone.
Yeah, maybe he's listening as we speak.
I don't know if he's that.
And he's smiling as he's stuck in traffic or something.
Yeah, I think he's just going to listen to it when he goes home.
All right. As long as he knows how proud we are of you. Firas, I'm going to play the song in just a second. But first, is your apartment manager enforcing unfair rules that are overly restrictive to children? Are they limiting the number of people that can live in your unit or prohibiting children from playing in the common areas of the complex? If you have questions regarding housing discrimination with regards to families with children, call the Fair Housing Center of Project Sentinel at 888-FAIR-HOUSING. That's 888-324-7468. And I think, Firas, we've kept everybody out there waiting. And I think we can just go to Sabah and Rula Saad singing Yana Yana. Here we go, Firas. This goes out to your dad and to all the listeners, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go.
أما بتقابلك عينيا ليه بتهرب من عينيا ومهتنا بلهيبي يا عذابي وحبيبي وحبيبي مداريبي ولا شان
حبيبك يا